A reading from the Song of Songs. Set me as a seal on your heart, as a seal on your arm. For stern as death is love, relentless as the netherworld is devotion. Its flames are a blazing fire. Deep waters cannot quench love, nor floods sweep it away. Were one to offer all he owns to purchase love, he would be roundly mocked. The word of the Lord. Young men and women, praise the name of the Lord.
Young men and women, praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all you his angels. Praise him, all you his hosts.
Young men and women, praise the name of the Lord.
Let the kings of the earth and all the peoples, the princes and all the judges of the earth, young men too and maidens, old men and boys, praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted.
Young men and women, praise the name of the Lord.
His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has lifted up the horn of his people. Be this his praise from all his faithful ones, from the children of Israel, the people close to him. Alleluia.
Young men and women, praise the name of the
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me. The Lord said to her in reply, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Verbum Domini.
This is such a vivid and real scene in the gospel. I think it's so real to all of us. I mean, literally, I can remember, well, not literally, but I can see this scene replayed in my own family at times. My grandmother busy with the big meal, needing help. And I thought, I mean, you have it under control. This is great. This is good food and everything. And not jumping up to help her at times. And that could replay in common life a lot. And her, Martha's resentment, maybe her jealousy, very real human emotions and experiences. But Jesus' response to her, Martha, Martha, you know, that you are anxious and worried about many things, it's a very gentle response, very tender kindness. He only addresses like Simon like that way at one time, calling him Simon, Simon. And I think it speaks that he's not scorning her efforts. He's not putting down what she's doing, her generous activity, her active life. I mean, the reason he's there is she invited him. You know, in John's gospel, raising of Lazarus, she's the one that goes out to meet him there too, and they have this powerful exchange, and we see her great faith in Jesus. So she is the one, you know, that brings Jesus into the home in the first place. But yet she loses sight of the one thing necessary that, you know, that he is first, and she gets caught up maybe in an excessive, this excessive serving that can, maybe Jesus wanted something more simple or something. And he tells her there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, will not be taken from her. The one thing necessary. What is truly necessary, he's telling her. You know, listening to the word of the Lord, present in the person of Christ there in front of them. That everything else, you know, in our life is passing. That Jesus is the one thing that we truly need, the one thing necessary, where nothing else can sustain us like him, that his words lead us to eternal life and give meaning to our daily activity. So definitely we must work. Charity demands it. It's how we develop ourselves, our personalities, our characters, but we need even more. We need more than just activity. We need his light and love, his truth and us. You know, or we just fall into just mere activism. He's the better part. Without him, we lose meaning. Without focusing on his presence in our lives lose meaning. So there's this primacy to communion with Christ first and then activity. It's at his direction, his strength, that we are to live our lives. Isn't that what we see yesterday in the readings? You know, with Jesus telling them after they're fishing all night, professional fishermen, they know what they're doing. You fish at night, apparently, in that region, catching nothing, at Christ's direction, at his command, and through their obedience to that command, they had this miraculous catch of fish. That God is the one that saves. That God is the one that provides. And Peter, yesterday in the reading, was so astonished at this. Right? He realizes his own weakness and sinfulness. And yet, in that great humbling of him and this encounter with the divine in Jesus Christ, he is sent on mission. You know, this communion with Christ makes us more active in a sense. It sends us out to get out of ourselves. It's quite the staggering scene, you know, in yesterday's gospel. I mean, they leave everything. They leave the boats. And they make him the one thing necessary, the one most important thing in their life. So maybe Martha had lost sight of this, being excessive in her preparations, more focused on the external activity. So first, we too have to focus on the Lord, and then service or some action that he wants us to do, that our life demands, that's before us, our vocations, our state in life. But the key is is that he is the center that holds all things together. He is the center that we build this active life that we have on him. As the saying goes, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I kind of like that simplicity. So we are to be attentive to the Lord, receptive, sitting at his feet. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It seems kind of stark, but isn't that what we're doing? We can make an idol of other things, the activity, the service. There can be only one number one. If not the Lord, it can be ourselves or other things, and we are left anxious and worried. It's crazy making, right? When we take our focus off the Lord. And I find, oftentimes that when we do that, it does get crazy real quick, and Jesus is just tearing up our script slowly in front of our face, right? Trying to reorient us to him, because we really can't control these things. They're beyond our strength and control, and they certainly can't sustain us. They can't give us peace or fulfillment. So sitting at his feet, what Mary's doing is telling us that we need to have this prayer life, this focus on the Lord, that we continually bring our attention back to him, that we're seeking his will, that he's our motivation, that we are the disciples, he is the master, that we follow his direction, that we enjoy his providence, that he gives us his strength, and then we can bear much fruit because we're connected to the vine. Without him, we can't bear any fruit. And the most beautiful thing, I think, is that we grow spiritually. We know a new peace and a new joy depending on him, following his directions, and drawing grace from him. Encounter in mission, right? That encounter comes first. And yes, he has work for us to do, but it comes from that communion with Christ.